for God is with us. Well, if you would, turn in your Bible to Job. Job chapter 2. Job chapter 2, there are some things that go on, and I know we're going to kind of review what takes place in chapter 1, but Job is one of those rare individuals that God brags on. I want you to think about that. What do you think God would say about you and me? Would he brag on us? Would he say, yeah, but look at all these other people, they're doing wrong, but look at my servant Brian. Or look at my servant Myron. I don't kind of think that I'd fit in that category where Job was. But what we should try to do is try to be the same type of individual Job was. And so what we're going to do is we're going to look at some things about Job, and Job had it tough. Let's stand in honor of the Word of God. We're going to start with chapter 2, verse 1. We'll go and probably refer back to chapter 1 as well. But I've entitled the message, Job's Special Virtue. Let's go ahead and read verse 1. It says, verse 1 in chapter 2, it says, "And again there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, From whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without a cause." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and mercy. And Lord, I thank you for the lessons that we see in Job. What an amazing man he was. And Lord, I just thank you for allowing us to be able to read about him and his stand for you and his character and withstanding all that he went through and still remain strong and close to you. Lord, I pray for you just to teach us from the lessons that we see here in Job. And Lord, each one of us can draw some special lessons from this great man who loved you supremely. And Lord, keep the preacher out of the way of the message tonight or this morning. Lord, we want you to be glorified in what we say. Lord, we need to hear from you, not the preacher. Let your Holy Spirit be the preacher this morning. For it's in that mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen. You can be seated. I look at this particular passage, and one of the things I like about it is the fact that it shows who's the boss. You say, what do you mean, who's the boss? Well, if you go to chapter 1 and look at verse 6, and it says, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." Satan, what he's saying to God here is the fact that he's pretty much having his way with all these people on the planet. He's doing whatever he wants to do. And he says basically that all these people that you created, God, their puppets, their putty in my hand. But then God throws a curve at Satan's response. But I want to stop there a second. Why did Satan show up? Why would he show up? He didn't have a choice. God was saying, okay, I don't know how many of you have been in the military. I haven't. But I will tell you that one of the things that you do is you have a roll call. And if you don't show up for roll call, you're in trouble. Well, one of the things that took place with God is the fact that he's having roll call. And all these spirits and all these angels and all these beings are having to show up that day. Even Satan. And Satan's, what Satan's doing is the fact that he's there and he's saying, hey, this is what I'm doing. But you know what? I get to thinking about it. You know one of the things that Satan didn't say? He didn't tell God, it's none of your business. Think about that. Because it is God's business. When God comes before you and I and he asks us certain things, whether it's in our prayers or whether it's in our Bible study, whether it's in church while we're preaching, it is his business as to what we're doing and how we're doing it. If you recall the story of Joseph, Joseph was tempted by Potiphar's wife. And she was trying to entice him. And he said, I will not do this thing, this sin, before God. You see, every time we sin, it's not a sin. If I hurt somebody, it's a sin against that person, but it's more of a sin against God. Because he's the one that wrote the rules. He's the one that wrote the book. When we sin, it's against him. What we see here is the fact that Satan had no choice but to show up. And look at what God said about Job here in verse 8. It says, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Now this is the first time that Satan talks to God about Job. And he says, and Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? I got a question. Why do you fear God? What's the purpose of what we do for God? Are we afraid of him? Because, and obviously, fearing God, I, as a boy, I was afraid of my daddy. My daddy had hands just as hard as those, the side of those pews, I think. And yeah, I knew he loved me. No doubt in my mind he loved me. But he also knew, I also knew that that love can turn into pain if I cross the line with him. It's the same way with God. God wants to show his love, his tenderness to you and I. But when we cross the line with him, he's got to discipline us. Okay? Well, sometimes it's a financial burden. Sometimes our car breaks down. Sometimes it's a health problem. Sometimes it's all kinds of different things are at his disposal. But one of the things that we see is the fact that Job feared God so much so that when you fear God, that fear is also going to cause you, it's going to motivate you to eschew evil. What does the word eschew mean, preacher? It means to hate with great disdain. You hate evil. You hate it in such a way that it makes you angry just to even see it. You know, one of the things in our world today is we're seeing evil take place, and we've lost our disdain. It's we're becoming desensitized from what's going on in our world today. And we need to be careful of that. We need to get just as upset over evil as God does. We need to get just as upset over, not against the people. We need to pray for them. We need to witness to them whenever we get a chance. But we need to hate evil with great disdain. And that's where Job was. And by the way, that's why God, look at what it says in verse 10. And it says, "Hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face." What would it take to get you so mad at God that you would curse him? What would it take for you to get to a point where you quit on God? Ever since COVID, we've seen a lot of people quit on God. You say, "Oh, they're concerned." I'm just saying, a lot of pews are emptier now than before COVID. They're not going to answer to me for it. They're going to answer to God for it. All I'm doing is stating a fact. But what would it take for you to quit? If God had a hedge around you and I believe He does when we serve Him, but if God removed that hedge, would you quit? If God removed that hedge, and I want to remind you, some atrocious things happened to Job. He lost all his cattle and his camels and his donkeys and even his 10 children in one day. But look at Job's response when all that happened. Verse 20, and it says, after they told him all these things, it says, "Then Job arose and rent his mantle." He tore his mantle, he shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground and worshiped. When bad things happen to you and I, typically, worship is not first on our list. Worship is not how we respond. But guess what? That's how Job responded. When bad things happen, that "I don't deserve that, Lord." No, you really don't. You deserve the lake of fire. Every one of us does. None of us are worthy of any good the smallest blessing that God has poured out on us. God will bless you, but God puts those hedges around you. But God dropped the hedge and let Satan in on the inside and attack Job and all that he had. God told him, "You can't touch him, his person." But I like this last part. Verse 21 and 22 in chapter 1, it says, and said, this is what Job said after, as he was worshiping, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is not typically my response. Maybe you're better than me when bad things happen, but that's not the way my flesh doesn't like to go that way. Okay, I have to fight it. But look at verse 22, and it says, in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. When we say, Lord, Brother Myron and I, we've been wondering about this bus route. Lord, are we really supposed to be here? We're not charging him. We're not saying this is, he's done something wrong. All we're doing is trying to make sure that we're doing what we're supposed to do and we're where we're supposed to be. But we could get a cop of attitude and say, Lord, how come you're not helping us? I got news for you. That's not my attitude at all. But we could get that way. But I've got 3 points here. And look at what it says in verse 3 again in chapter 2. And it says, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. My first point is God saw it. What is that virtue, preacher? Job's integrity. What is integrity, preacher? Well, it encompasses a lot of things. The Bible speaks much about an upright man. Somebody that talks right. Somebody that lives right. Somebody that handles adversity right. Somebody that, when bad things happen, they don't go off on somebody else. They don't get mad at God. Integrity means that you're going to do the right thing no matter what happens, no matter how difficult it is. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Well, I use this lesson sometimes with the kids in the jail. And I tell them, I said, no, you're walking down the sidewalk. Somebody drops a $20 bill. You see them, drop the money. What do you do? Oh, they say, it's mine. I put it in my pocket. I just walk over there and step on it till they're gone and put it in my pocket. I said, what if I told you that taking that $20 is just like stealing, and after that, when God gets done with you, that $20 might cost you $2,000. Your car breaks down, you get sick, your family gets sick, God doesn't hear your prayers, you're a thief. All of a sudden they start seeing things a little farther. Our world has a tendency to just see the here and now. They got tunnel vision. Integrity means you're going to say, hey, ma'am, you dropped this. Sharon and I were at the bank the other day, and we went to make a deposit, and we gave the lady more $20 more than what we thought. Now, she could have just took that money and put it in her pocket. But she didn't. And God's going to bless her for it. Job had integrity, so much so that God said, even though you come against him, Satan, Job's not going to let go of his integrity. Not only did God see it, but let's look at verse 9. It says, "Then said his wife unto him, Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die." So not only did God see Job's integrity, but his wife saw it too. It's interesting, when something happens, something comes against you, bad things happen, you never know how many people are noticing. People watch you. People watch me. They know we go to church. They see us leave on Sunday mornings. They know that we're passing out tracts. We're talking about Jesus. We don't have any problem talking about Him. Can others see your integrity? They should. They should be able to see it. They should be able to see my integrity. They ought to be able to see that I'm trying to do the right thing, trying to do to make a difference where I can. This past week, it aggravated Brother Myron and I. We had two jails to go to, and neither one of them would let us in. Now, the one on Monday night, we were already in Orlando. We went past out tracks at the mall, at one of the malls there in Orlando, and then we went to the fun spot and passed out a bunch of tracks. And I mentioned this Wednesday night, I believe Brother Myron and I had more fun at the fun spot than anybody else. Because we were doing the Lord's work, He was pouring out those joy buckets all over us. It was a blessing. I'm saying all that to say this. When things happen that you're not counting on, do you just say, "Well, oh well, that's the way it is"? I personally believe that the jail was shut so we would go to the fun spot. We could have gone out to eat. We could have just turned around and come back home. When things catch you off guard, what are you looking for? Are you looking for another way to make a difference? Yesterday, I went to a Chinese restaurant to pick up lunch for Sharon after I left the church. And one of the things I wanted to do was, I wanted to go in this particular Chinese restaurant because I know that they've got a couple teenagers that work there and they need Jesus. Why do you go into places like that? There are times when I'll change my route. I'll go to different stores just for the sake of passing out tracts to different people. Not because I'm special. But I feel the Lord lead me to do that. But I want you to understand, not only did God notice Job's integrity, but also his wife noticed his integrity and even tried to get him to curse God and die. I personally believe, and I'm going to go ahead and say this, and this is nothing against you ladies, but I personally believe that that's why Satan didn't kill his wife. Because he was going to use her to try to get Job to curse God. And he still wouldn't do it. But let's go to Job 27. Job 27. And here in this particular passage, we see the Job's value of his integrity. Let's start with verse 1 that says, and it says, "Moreover, Job continued his parable and said, As God liveth, who hath taken away my judgment, and the Almighty who hath vexed my soul, all the while my breath is in me, and the Spirit of God is in my nostrils. My lips shall not speak wickedness, nor my tongue utter deceit. God forbid that I should justify you till I die. I will not remove mine integrity from me. Job is saying here, he's saying that my integrity is a conviction. A preference you'll give up. A preference you'll... For instance, there are times I like to have certain foods. I like ice cream. I don't know anybody that don't, but... But if I can't get this kind of ice cream, what I'll do is I'll get another kind. That's a preference. But this is not a preference. I'll die for my King James Bible. I'll die for my family. I'll die serving God. Job said, my integrity is a part of me, and it's going to be a part of me till I die. Wonder what it'd be like if even 10% of the people in our country felt that way. It would sure change if more people had integrity to a point where they wouldn't go against what's right. I'm going to go ahead and say this. We've been talking to a guy about our piano. And he told me, he said, you call and check out the piano I've got. I've got a nice piano, and we'll just swap it out for the one that you have. Because we bought one from him, and it's not what it ought to be. So I called him this week, and he said, let me explain. I had a church looking for a piano, and they were willing to pay cash. So I sold the piano. That is someone without integrity. And my prayer for that person is the same way Paul prayed for Alexander the coppersmith. Lord, reward him according to his work. I pray that for a lot of people, by the way. But the truth is, that's a person of somebody that has no integrity. And you and I that love Jesus, that know the difference, that know what's right, know right and wrong, we ought not be that way. You don't know who's going to get wind of what you do. Look at verse 8 in Job 27. And this is my fourth point. Without it. It says, for what is the hope of the hypocrite, though he hath gained, when God taketh away his soul? Will God hear his cry when trouble cometh upon him? Will he delight himself in the Almighty? Will he always call upon God? I will teach you by the hand of God. That which is with the Almighty will I not conceal. What verse 8 is telling us is the opposite of someone with integrity is a hypocrite. The same as the Pharisees, the same as the Sadducees, the same as the scribes that came against Jesus. Our job as Christians is to get God's blessings. And sometimes it's hard to get those blessings. Sometimes the right decision is the toughest decision. But I will tell you, It's always, always, always going to be rewarded when we make the right decision. God's going to bless us. And if you read the rest of the book of Job, God blessed Job. He had those friends that were coming against him, and they were constantly beating him up. They were constantly talking him down. They were saying, all these things came on you, Job, because of your sin in your life. But if you read towards the last chapter, you'll see that God said, told those so-called friends that you better get Job to pray for you. I'm going to answer Job's prayer. I'm not going to answer your prayer, but you guys need Job to pray for you, and I'll forgive you. That's the way we're supposed to be. When people do something wrong, when people do something to harm us, guess what? We got to forgive them. I could get upset over this piano and put on Facebook all over the place, and I'm not going to do that. All I'm saying is we need to make sure that we have integrity. Integrity is going to be somebody that doesn't talk about people behind their back unless it's good. You know, a gossip can be sharing the truth and still be a gossip. The purpose of a gossip is determined by their motive. If they're talking about somebody to tear them down or to build the person up, build themselves up, that's a gossip. Even if they're sharing what's true. What we need to do is to remember, a gossip is a hypocrite because they don't have any integrity either. But God's going to bless us for our integrity. God's going to bless us for doing things right. God's always going to do things in a fashion that He rewards us when we do things right. Years ago, they had this... these bracelets out. What would Jesus do? Well, that's good to keep in mind. What did Jesus do about the Pharisees and the Sadducees? When He had something strong to say to them, guess what? He said it to their face. That's the way we ought to be. If we've got something against our brother or sister, guess what? We need to say it to their face. That's how you smooth things over. That's how you resolve things. That's how you show that you have integrity. God wants us to show the world that we have integrity. But one of the things about integrity is going to do? It's going to separate you from a lot of people. Because a lot of people aren't going to show integrity. Like I said, they're going to look for an opportunity to get the best of somebody. But I'm glad that God blesses when we do things His way. If it was easy, everybody'd do it. Right? But what did Jesus do? He went to the cross for you and I. The least we can do is live for Him. Make decisions based on Him and what He wants us to do. Decisions are made every day. The greatest decision to be made is to trust Jesus, to get saved. After that, the Lord asks us to get baptized. After we get saved, and then to live for Him and try to reach others. I don't know if anybody here is not saved, but today's the best day to get saved, to get it settled with God. The song says, though millions have come, there's still room for one. And if you're already saved, then you need to let integrity help you make your decisions. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your love and mercy. And Lord, we just praise Your name. We praise You for allowing us to have integrity, for giving us the insight. Our world is so devoid of integrity. So many people don't even know what it is or couldn't even describe it. Probably couldn't even spell it. But Lord, I pray that You'll just help each one of us live within our integrity and help our integrity to be a conviction, not a preference. A conviction that we're going to die with. Lord, we pray for You to use the invitation to make us more like Jesus. For it's in the holy name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Let's stand. Let's turn in our hymnal to hymn number 272. Jesus, I come.